From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. In Botswana today, a landmark deal was reached, the first comprehensive attempt to stop the flow of so-called conflict or blood diamonds. These are gems used to finance civil wars in Sierra Leone, Angola, and other African countries. Today's agreement would set up a global system to track diamonds from mine to trading floor to jewelry counter. The United Nations is expected to ratify the deal as early as next month.
Conflict diamonds present a public relations nightmare to the diamond industry, and a particular nightmare to Antwerp, a port city in northern Belgium. Antwerp is the world's largest trading center for rough or uncut diamonds. It's been criticized by the UN for its lax controls over diamond imports. American Radio Works' Stephen Smith looks at the city that's been called a smuggler's dream.
Walking onto the trading floor in one of Antwerp's rough diamond exchanges is like entering the prism of a diamond. A slanted wall of floor-to-ceiling glass captures north-facing light, the best for viewing gemstones. Traders in dark suits sit at long, narrow tables. Most are men, and they're looking determined, even grim, as they sift through handfuls of stones, inspecting each one with magnifying glasses and punching figures into calculators.
Now you have here on our trading floor, you have the client being shown the particular parcel of diamonds.
Michael Vaughan is a British-born diamond broker. He wears a yarmulke and a well-tailored black suit. Standing at a respectful distance, he gives a play-by-play of a buyer contemplating a deal.
First thing he has to decide in himself is whether he can use that particular item, and the next question will be exactly how much. There will then follow a process of negotiation. If at a certain stage that prospective dealer feels that he's able to accept that particular offer, he will take that parcel, put it in an envelope, seal the envelope. On the seal of the envelope, put his initials, and on the envelope there will be contained the price and terms of payment. That is called a cachet. It is the bylaw, it is the bit in our industry which is holy.
The cachet is holy because the diamond business is traditionally a gentleman's game, a discreet, honor-bound profession. A handshake can secure a deal worth a fortune. Brum Fischler is part of this old school of diamond trading. He spent 6 decades in the business and now presides over Antwerp's polished diamond exchange. These trading centers are private clubs that share membership lists. Fischler says it's a powerful way to control behavior in the industry.
We have a force here that the people who is member, if he doesn't behave like it has to be, we expel him. At a certain, the same moment he is expelled, we know it in 24 offices in the world, and the business for these people are out.
For those who play by the rules, the diamond industry is like a family. Fischler grew up in the business after losing all his own family in the Holocaust. As a young man, he migrated to Cuba, started a diamond business there, then fled to Antwerp when the communists took over. Fischler says the diamond business is different from any other because it was built by refugees.
With a building, you cannot go away. With your diamonds, you can go away. All my life, all our life, my parents, my grandparents had to fly away because of pogroms, to go away. The diamonds saved us always, and we can move, we can move.
Diamonds offer Jewish refugees like Fischler a new life. The stones were a portable, easily convertible form of wealth. But these attributes also make diamonds ideal contraband. They can cross borders undetected and don't have serial numbers. They're perfect for smuggling and money laundering. In March of 2000, a United Nations report charged that Antwerp's extremely lax import controls make it easy to smuggle diamonds here, especially conflict diamonds. These are the gems that rebel forces in Angola, Sierra Leone, and other African countries sell on the black market to fund their war machines. It's easy for rebel armies to find middlemen who can help them make the deal. This is a street cafe in the gangster-filled Yugoslav city of Podgorica. We meet a young man we'll call Dragan. Since he smuggles diamonds for a living, he didn't want his real name used. Dragan has a soft, boyish face, wears a black Versace t-shirt, and sips a Coke as he explains how he smuggles diamonds from Sierra Leone into Antwerp.
When I travel, I use a Belgian passport. I fly to Istanbul and from there go to Freetown. In Freetown, I go to a hotel that was arranged and meet with a manager who is my contact. He brings the diamonds to me in a room and I inspect them. Then I pack up the diamonds in a soda can with a false bottom, or in sandwiches, or in toys that I bring, or in false bottom suitcases. Then I fly back to Turkey and from then to Belgium. It's all arranged so I can easily pass through customs.
Dragan says he works for a large, well-known, seemingly legitimate diamond firm in Antwerp. He wouldn't say which one. He estimates that he's made about 30 smuggling runs from Sierra Leone to Antwerp in the past 5 years. He says he smuggles the stones into Belgium two ways: smaller hauls on commercial airplane flights, larger quantities by boat.
These are the large shipments of 200 to 500 stones. Sometimes we hide the stones in with a cargo of cotton thread. The boxes aren't opened at customs. We bribe the officials.
Once Dragan gets the diamonds to Antwerp, the money flows back to Sierra Leone, along with guns and grenades.
Here's how it works. We pay an arms dealer who then ships weapons to Sierra Leone. I was there two times when we delivered money to a Bulgarian arms dealer. Sometimes we just deposit money into their bank accounts.
In Antwerp's diamond cutting shops, rough diamonds are sliced and burnished into finished gems. If Dragan's blood diamonds are sold to a dealer who mixes them with legitimate diamonds, they vanish into the legal trade. So this is how conflict diamonds, an estimated 4% of the business, taint the entire stream. Antwerp's Diamond Council is basically the Diamond Chamber of Commerce, and it's known by its Flemish abbreviation, HRD. Leaders at the council fear that the controversy over conflict diamonds might spark a consumer boycott of all diamonds. Belgium has decided to show the world it recognizes the problem and is responding.
My name is Mark van Bokstel, and I am the Director of International Affairs of the HRD, Diamond Eye Council in Antwerp. My job basically is trying to prevent that conflict diamonds are happening on this market. I'm also trying to do that on a worldwide scale.
Van Bokstel says Belgium has changed its practices and stepped up enforcement since the UN report came out. Diamonds from Sierra Leone and Angola now must have certificates showing that they don't come from a war zone. Belgium also publishes data showing where its diamonds come from, something other trading centers in the secretive diamond business don't do. But Van Bokstel says Belgium can only do so much. So it's backing something called the Kimberley Process, an international effort to block traffic in conflict diamonds.
Can we stop conflict diamonds today from being mixed in any legitimate trade? And the answer to that is a clear no, we cannot. The reason that we are working with the Kimberley Process is to make possible that we have the legislation in place to do so.
Their aim is to create an international certification system, a paper trail for all the stones. It's been a slow and complicated process to get more than 30 countries to agree on a plan. Charmian Gooch is co-director of Global Witness, a humanitarian watchdog group in London. She says the diamond industry, in Antwerp and elsewhere, has been stalling on conflict diamonds.
The reason everybody is sitting down at Kimberley trying to deal with this problem is because the diamond trade has refused to do this. And the point here is the industry has played a game of saying that it welcomes government regulation, it has to wait to be told what to do by governments in the UN. Well, that's patently ridiculous.
While the diamonds may allow warring factions to purchase arms, food, and supplies, Van Bokstel argues that blaming diamonds for the civil wars in Africa is too simplistic.
I do hope that everybody understands that what we are trying to accomplish today with the Kimberley Process, this is not necessarily a guarantee that conflicts themselves will be stopped. Diamonds have been unduly identified as the sole parts in conflicts.
Diamond traders say much the same thing. It's not diamonds that chop off children's limbs in Africa. Diamonds, they say, have only brought joy to people. Antwerp's diamond industry is on the defensive. It can't compete against the cheap labor in Asia's cutting centers. The luxury goods market is depressed. Americans aren't buying diamonds like they used to, and the Japanese market has shriveled. Finally, the issue of blood diamonds threatens to explode again. if the international certification system fails. For American Radio Works and NPR News, I'm Stephen Smith.
American Radio Works is the documentary project of Minnesota Public Radio and NPR News.